Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
You can win a $300 prize package from Crown Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and now Mitsubishi. $300 prize package. It's right here. And your chance to win is only minutes away if you know anything about Christmas. Whether Christmas films or Christmas songs or anything connected with Christmas, this is your chance to win and win big. Later on, we're going to be having Mr. Big Willie himself, a legendary OTR truck driver, who we think was the guy who was dangling over the edge of that highway in West Virginia for about 5 hours. We'll get confirmation from Mr. Big Willie himself. That'll be a little bit later on this morning. Also, Eric Gay from St. Clairsville. What the city of St. Clairsville is doing for Christmas is wonderful. They got the Nutcracker. We gave away a $200 prize package yesterday. Eric Gay is going to let us know about all the great stuff regarding the Nutcracker in St. Clairsville, the wonderful Christmas stuff going on there now. And Serena Heckathorn, one of my favorites of all time, not only because she's my agent, Health Markets Insurance Agency, but because she's just a really cool person. She's going to be joining us, giving us the latest information about Medicare for your parents, for your grandparents. The clock is ticking. Time is almost running out. A lot of people in the media are not covering this story. She will give you the latest information, no matter what health insurance company you want to use, whether it's Health Markets, which is hers, or anyone, any other company. And right now, more with Dr. Norman Wood, who is this legendary guy who has done so many different things. He is in. He lives in Marshall County now. On a 100-acre farm, baling, is that 1,000?
Yeah, pretty close to 1,000 each year.
Of hay?
Of hay, yeah, hay.
Bale, and you bale. Do it by yourself?
Square bale. Yeah, well, I sell it. I do all the cutting, raking, tethering, and baling myself.
This guy, and he writes novels.
And I
novels.
Have to stack it.
And he writes novels. They went four at last count, right?
Yeah, I have the fifth one at the publisher's right
of
now.
Of course he does. Of course he does. And also a former special agent for the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force in San Francisco, and also a medical doctor who has taken the lead about how to solve the problem of the homeless. And he is essentially saying treat them as if they're mentally ill because they're mentally ill, and open up a really good state mental health facility. Put them in there for a year or two to defog them and rewire their brains, and problem pretty much is going to be solved. This is an amazing human being, this Dr. Norman Wood, absolutely amazing. So in this last section, or segment, I should say, pretty much anything you want to talk about. Do you want to address the homeless issue here in Wheeling or the drug problem or both? This is your opportunity, Norman, whatever you want.
Well, I think people should, in any community, they know who's selling the drugs. They know where the drug houses are. They need to make sure law enforcement are aware of that. Call the city police, call the deputy sheriffs, you know, sheriff's office, call the state police. Inform on those people. There's always local drug task force in this area. There's one in Wheeling.
But what good is it going to do? I mean, don't the cops already know? Law enforcement already know this?
Maybe. But maybe they'll start looking at them a little bit closer if people start saying we need to clean this up. Because those people are killing our people. I mean, they're killing my fellow West Virginians. Like I said, two or three a day. That's not acceptable. We need to stop that. And we have to do anything that we can to prevent that from happening. And we have not for several years. We have not been enforcing our laws. That's a problem. There's plenty of, and I was telling the mayors of Wheeling, Denny's just a great guy.
Yes, he is.
And Tom down there in Parkersburg, all we have to do is enforce our laws. Well, they've been enforcing the laws down at Huntington. I mean, they've been a little bit lax.
Huntington or Parkersburg?
I mean, Parkersburg, not Huntington, okay. But Parkersburg. But they've been a little bit lax in some of the other areas, and this is what happens.
Why is it that law enforcement, city officials throughout West Virginia, really throughout the nation, why don't they do that?
Well, they're compassionate people, and they feel that what they're doing is actually the best for those people. It's actually not. When we allow them to have frostbite in the winter, or a woman that's drunk lays outside her tent and freezes to death at night in the wintertime in the homeless camp, that's not compassionate care. That's damn neglect. That's societal neglect at the highest order. So we have to get those people in a facility where they can get the proper care, and it takes 1 to 2, maybe even 3 years to get some of those people straightened out, and then they can be a productive member of society. Instead of being a burden on it, they'll be able to go out and get a job, pay taxes, have a home, you know, and have a life, have a family. And there's lots of cases of those people that are able, once you get them past that, they're just wonderful people. And I've had in my medical career, and it's extremely difficult to do this in an outpatient setting. It's almost impossible. You probably, your success rate is like 2% or less in the outpatient setting. That's the reason these local drug detox centers, these local mental health facilities don't work, because they don't have the amount, they can't keep those people for the amount of time to where they can actually.
How do you know it's a year or two? Save a homeless, some crazy homeless person, alcoholic, drug addict, doesn't take care of himself. I mean, just the dregs of society. I'm sure they're mentally ill. There's no question in my mind.
They're either mentally ill, drug addicted, or both.
Right. And I do want to solve the problem. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
How do you know that your solution, or your proposed solution here, putting them in mental health hospitals for a year or two, will work?
Well, it does, because once you get them on the proper medication and once their brain has the time to recover and to heal, then they start using that prefrontal cortex more, which is their logical, rational decision making. It's also where we store our inhibitions, but narcotics turns that area off. I mean, we can prove it. It actually even shrinks. We can show with functional MRIs and PET scans actually how the brain has shrunk from a healthy control person to what it looks like in a cocaine addicted brain or a heroin addicted brain.
Is that why some people like to do drugs before sex? Does that make a difference?
Because the euphoric effect is even greater than the sex.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. And they begin to feel like they're in love with the drug. They actually are. The brain thinks that they are actually in love with those drugs, because the amount of dopamine that the narcotics is able to flush over the nuclear accumbens, which is the pleasure center of the brain, that's much greater than any sexual encounter that you can ever have. So that's the reason that people that have loved to do things all their lives, like go fishing, you know, tie flies, collect records or whatever,
they lose that
joy, because it doesn't give them the same dopamine response that the narcotics does.
All right. You make a great case. But again, how do you know this? Well, are there studies like throughout the world, like in Sweden or Germany or Timbuktu or wherever?
We have them in our own country.
We do?
Research it.
In my experience,
the mentally ill are actually easier to treat than the drug addicted brain, because it takes the drug addicted brain longer to recover than it does to get somebody who is mentally ill on the proper medication. It takes like 6 months to a year to where you get them stabilized to where they can actually function in society and not be in a homeless camp.
All right. So then why, especially here in West Virginia, especially with you, why don't we have a state mental hospital that's world class, that can actually do this, where we can ship all these crazy, poor, crazy people who I actually feel bad for them, but ship them there, keep them there a year or two, fix them up, send them out. Why aren't we doing that in West Virginia?
Well, we haven't done that since 1981. That's when the Omnibus Act was enacted, and they took the federal money from the state institutions and started divvying it up for community care. Well, that's been a disaster.
Yep.
It's been a disaster. We have to bring back a facility where we can put these people in
Why haven't we done it?
Well, we've just been naive. We felt like we need to continue to do this, but And like the mayor pointed out to me yesterday, he made an excellent point, Tom Joyce down in Parkersburg. He said, when you look at the pictures of those homeless camps, that is what has replaced our mental institutions. And he is exactly correct.
Hold on. I got to get the right sound effect here, Rona. Hold on. Sorry. I got to do this right. God, jeez. Hold on.
I want to say good morning to Christina. Okay. Love you, honey.
Okay. Do I have that right? Oh, there we go. Finally got it right. I'm an idiot. All right. So you're saying hello to somebody while I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I hate you. So you talked with Governor Patrick Morrissey about this.
Yes, I've talked to their staff. Yes. One of his staff members even called me here. And I've talked directly with Governor Morrissey as well.
Okay.
But I had one of his staff call me here a couple of weeks ago, and I sent him more information. So it's starting to move a little bit. I mean, it's not moving a lot, but every venture takes that first step. So So that's what we're doing. We're taking that first step and trying to get that movement. And
how close are we with this? We've taken the first step. You're the first step. And you've made the case brilliantly. I'd have you on every, I swear to you, I'd have you on every week here, unless you wanted money, in which case, no. So where are we in this process of having a state hospital for the mentally ill so that we can save all these homeless people by reprogramming their brains?
Well,
how close are we?
It's going to take time. It's going to take time. It's going to be an expensive venture. And I was the physician director for the West Virginia Division of Correction Rehabilitation for a couple of years as well. And I know that the Division of Corrections, we get like $400 million a year.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money. And we got 24 facilities, total facilities, 24 of them in the state of West Virginia. If we would take some of that money and put it into a hospital, we stop that revolving door.
Yeah.
Our inmate population has went from in 2090, it was 2,000 inmates. When the opioid epidemic really hit us in 2000, by 2015, we had 8,000 inmates. Now we have 12,000 inmates, and 70 to 80% of those are serving time for drug offenses, drug-related offenses.
We have got to open up a new hospital for the mentally ill in West Virginia, one super hospital, and ship a lot of people there.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to change those laws to where the judges and the prosecuting attorneys, when they arrest these people for the drug offenses, they can serve amount of time in the penitentiary if they want to, but their last 2 or 3 years need to be spent in that hospital.
Yes.
To where we can retrain them, give them technical training, you know, let them be plumbers or electricians,
reprogram their brains primarily.
Yes. And I've had people that I've actually been able to do that out in Washington State.
Yeah.
One was a horrible, dangerous schizophrenic. And when I first met him, he would scream at me in the examination room, "I don't know why they won't give me an effing job." My first incarceration was just when they found my girlfriend hanging in my apartment, and my second incarceration just on a firearms violation. "I don't know why they won't give me an effing job." I mean, he would scream that at the top of his lungs.
My God.
And it took me over a year, but I finally got him on the correct medication. Got him. He was no longer homeless. I got him a job down at the one of the local hardware stores where he was a janitor. He got an apartment. He ended up getting a girlfriend. He went from being on the street and being dangerously crazy to where he was a contributing member. When I told him I was leaving Washington State and I was coming home to West Virginia, he cried. He hugged me and said, thank you for getting me out of hell. And that's what these people, it's survival every day for these people in those homeless camps. It's survival every minute, every hour, every day.
Whatever we can do to help you get Morrissey to do this thing in the state legislature, I'm telling you, this is a winner. It doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat.
This is
a winner. Okay, look, we're almost out of time. I know your schedule is very busy. We appreciate so much the time that you've already given us. Anytime you want to come back, just say the word.
My pleasure.
I always give our guests the last word. But before we do, one quick question. When are you going to run for governor or U.S. Senate?
We'll see.
That's not a no. You've been thinking about this.
I've been asked several times.
You've been thinking about this too.
Yeah, we'll see.
You make the big announcement right here, my friend. You make the big announcement right effing here.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. Might be our next governor, might be our next United States senator. And this guy could do it. I absolutely believe that. All right, Dr. Norman Wood, I always give my guest the last word. My microphone's yours.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to come here, Dimitri, and this is such a important subject for, you know, my people in the state of West Virginia. And we need to do this or we're not going to change anything. We haven't done anything correct for the last 40 years. It's an absolute mess. Nobody can say that we're better off now than we were 40 years ago. I mean, we are absolutely not. And it is costing our children's lives and their welfare. And families are spending all of their life savings to try to help a loved one get off of drugs or get the mental illness treatment the best they can. And nothing seems to work because these regional and these community detox centers, they just don't hold these people long enough. It takes the brain 3 to 4 months after abstinence to even just to begin to start healing. And they're not held long enough.
How do people get in touch with you? What do you want our listeners to do?
Contact your local representative, your the House members, your Senate members, even our federal senators and House members and encourage them that we need to pony up the money to build a new state hospital and start doing this correct.
How do people get in touch with you? How do they get in touch with you?
Contact me Facebook. You can messenger me on Facebook.
Dr. Norman Wood or Norman Wood?
Norwood, Dr. Norman Wood.
Dr. Norman Wood, because there are some other fakes out there.
Yeah, I don't even think on Facebook it just says Norman Wood.
Thank you, sir.